Hallelujah. Greeting to all the brothers and sisters. And I thank God for his opportunity given me that this time I'm going to spend another week with all the brothers and sisters here in NYTS. Every time coming here, I feel excited when I'm seeing you, all the brothers and sisters. Some are old faces that I know, some are new faces. My name is Timothy Young. I'm a pastor from Canada. Vancouver is where I'm living. So I'm also very happy to see a lot of Canadian youth here. If you're Canadian, raise your hand. Let me see my people. Thank you. So don't bully them. And of course, all the American brothers are also my people too. Because in True Jesus Church, in Christ, we are one people. So for the next 5 days, we're going to go through this journey together. We're going through the book of Joshua. Okay, be honest, how many of you has read the book before you come here? Raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. For those who didn't raise your hands, you're also honest. But it's not enough. Honesty only cannot bring you spiritual growth. You need to put on the hard work. So I demand to you, all of you, if you haven't read the book, you must. Using your lunchtime, self-study time, break time, you have to catch up. Because if you haven't read the book, if you rely on me to tell the story, you'll be disappointed. Because I'm not going to be going through an RE classes and tell you all the story. I don't have the time. There are so many chapters, and I only have 11 sessions. So if you don't read the book, you'll miss so much, and you will not be getting much from the class. So I demand to you that you have to read if you haven't done so. So the book of Joshua is about a journey of faith, a journey into the promised land. Faith is a journey because right now we haven't get to our final destination. How many of you actually were baptized when you were a baby into the True Jesus Church? Raise your hand. So pretty much almost like everybody. Some minority, we came when you were become young adults. But no matter we were baptized as a baby or you truth-seeking and make a decision to believe in Christ, the moment you get baptized actually marks the beginning. And because we are so young, so normally speaking, if the life expectancy is like 70-some years or 80-some years, if you're so lucky, if you die early, then your journey or struggle of faith is shorter. But normally speaking, you're so young, or if you are like 18, 20-something years, so most of you will actually are expecting another 60-some years in this world and going through the journey of faith and journey of trial and test before you can enter the eternal rest, the eternal hope that God has given us. So reading the book of Joshua and study together is so important because the Bible already told us what we will face, what are the challenges, and also tell us what are the struggles and how you can overcome it. So it's a story of fear, faith, courage, struggle, and miracles. We will face all this. But thank God, God has already given us the roadmap. Even though the book was written thousands of years ago, but spiritually speaking, we are going through the same journey. The background of the book, as we know, if we have already studied the book of Exodus before, and also the book of Numbers, Leviticus, we know that they have spent 40 years in the wilderness already. When they left Egypt, under the leadership of Moses, they were expecting they can go into the land of Canaan very quickly. But unfortunately, because of disobedience, that they have to spend another 40 years wandering around the wilderness. It's supposed to be a few months' journey, but last 40 years. Why? Because God has to wait for those disobedient generation to die and new generation to grow up. And that is the timing. And now the time has come. Moses is already dead. New generation of leader, Joshua, is ready to take the leadership. And as according to the law's command, God told Joshua, you have to go and get yourself ready and get the people ready to take possession of the promised land. So there's the historical background of the book. Let's turn to the book first, Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and I need the student to help me to read out the Bible verses person by person, one each, right? So starting from your sister, can you read for us chapter 1, verse 1? Okay, so this is the background. Moses is dead. Moses has been leading the people for 40 good years, but he was also a human being. He cannot live forever. Now he is no more. But the work of God has to continue. So another generation of worker now has to take charge. Before I continue, as you know, I didn't print you the notes. Why? Because if I print to you, you have nothing to copy during the class, right? And you'll be lazy. You'll be falling asleep easily. So you have to write your own notes and drop down the main points. And of course, there'll be exam. There'll be tests in my class, and it's going to be so easy to fail if you don't take it seriously, okay? Don't just come here, oh, listen to story and go home, right? Okay, there'll be tests, and tests is, you have to be careful because it's a struggle, right? The book of Joshua is struggle and survival. If you don't pay attention, you can tumble very easily. Okay, so Moses is dead, but Joshua has to get himself ready. So, brother and sister, you are the next generation. When you read the book of Joshua, think about yourself. Position yourself into the position of Joshua. Old generation has gone, and you are the future of True Jesus Church. You are the future of God's people in His chosen church. And maybe, we never know, could be, maybe, the last generation before Jesus' second coming. Of course, I don't know. Nobody knows. But we are only getting closer. Joshua is the new generation, and he has to be ready. If he wasn't, now he must be. You are the next generation. When I'm looking at you, you're so young. You're so energetic. You can be an NYTS and still surviving. This is the second week already, right? When I see you, I remember myself when I was in NYTS. It was in the early 90s. At that time, the NYTS was a little bit different, less people. But now, looking at you, wow, the new generation. But you must ask the question, if the old generation passed one day, can you make yourself ready to take up the baton and to serve God? So Joshua, thank God, he was getting himself prepared all the years. And when Moses passed away, he immediately can continue the work of God. So are you ready, brother and sister? So look at this book and position yourself into the responsibility given by God. So what is the theme and the main message of the book? It's not just fighting, killing, and claiming the land. There are a very important message behind. The message is, of course, if you look at the most superficial level, it's talk about victory. How people can enjoy victory. Because if you want to claim the land, without land, you cannot be a nation. Without land, you have to wander in the wilderness. And without the land, you will even be destroyed by the enemy eventually. So you need to have the land promised by God to you. But how can you claim it? You have to obey. Obedience bring blessing. And of course, faith means obedience. If you don't believe in God, you will not obey Him. If you don't obey Him, you will not overcome the challenges. And if you cannot overcome the challenges, you will even be dead in the wilderness. You cannot be in between, brother and sister. You must enter the land. You must enter God's rest. You cannot say, oh, I just hang on the wilderness forever. You cannot. You already left Egypt. You have nowhere to go. You have to claim the land. You have to enjoy it. You have to get God's promise. You cannot stay in the in-between forever. Nowadays, so many young brothers and sisters, you know, they want to stay in between forever. Why? They were baptized into the church. Oh, I'm a Christian from birth. But they don't make progress in the faith. They don't want to enter God's promise. They don't want to be another level closer to God. And they don't think much about entering eternal rest. They just hang on in the well and live in between. You know, in between is wandering around. Of course, after a while, it's okay, you get yourself ready. But you cannot be continuous like this for the rest of your life. You have to make progress. So this book tells us, if you want to make progress, if you want to enter the rest, obedient faith brings blessing. And that is the only way you can have victory. It can take long. Victory can take long times to come. But it will come. But if you disobey God, if you have your own idea, if you want to go on your own way, you're going to suffer. And of course, the whole book talks about conquering and fulfillment of God's promise. Many hundred years ago, that God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you, make you a great nation, your descendant will inherit this land. And when God talked to Abraham, he didn't even own one piece of plot. When his wife passed away, he didn't even have a place to bury her dead bones. He had to buy a cave. So Abraham died a landless man. But God's promise never failed. Many hundred years later, it was Joshua who bring the people to claim the land which God promised Abraham long ago. So from reading this book, you can understand, you know, God is a God of promise. When you face despair or hopelessness or frustration in life, it's easy to lose hope, easy to lose direction, easy to complain. But this book reminds you that no matter what happened, God will not change. Even people change, God will not change. You have to stick with God. You have to continue believing in His promise. If you don't lose faith, the promise of God will eventually be fulfilled. So this book is so wonderful. And of course, remind us, obedience. At the end of the day, it's about whether you can obey. It's just simple as that. It's not how smart you are. I know some of you, most of you are really hardworking students, right? Some of you are really good at studying. Some of you go to good school, or maybe you have your dreams about, wow, what you want to do in the future. But going, receiving blessing of God doesn't have to be smart in your own eyes. It's not the one who have the highest IQ or go to the best school who receive the most blessing from God. Even though you are not smart in people's eyes, you are not smart in God's worldly standard, you are so-so, or you are not good at studying at all, doesn't matter. Your IQ is 70, 80, 60, it's okay, right? Below other people, it's okay. It doesn't take high IQ, smart, or go to good school to have blessing from God or go to heaven in the future. All you need is obedience. And oftentimes, those who have very high IQ, very smart, they don't obey until they suffer. I don't know. Are you the one like this? You think you know something. You want to go on your own way. But after a while, you suffer. And then you turn back. And you tell yourself, oh, you know, I should have listened. But now I've suffered. So obedience brings blessing. And Joshua is a person who has strength and courage. So let's talk about the author of the book. The author of the book is traditionally believed to be Joshua himself. And let's talk about this person a little bit. Joshua. He is believed to be the author. His name was not called Joshua before. His name was called Hosea. The name of Hosea actually means saved or delivered. It's a very good name. Probably when his mother gave birth to him, the father think about, you know, because we know that Joshua was born in where? He was born in Egypt. When he was born, his father was a slave. So his father was probably thinking, one day God will save the people. So let's call him Hosea, which means saved. But later, Moses renamed him, give him another name, gave him a better name. Moses called him Joshua. His name is called Joshua. Joshua, of course, also is a Hebrew word. Of course, in Hebrew is Yahushua. Yah means Yahweh or the Lord. So Joshua, the name combined means the Lord saves. In Old Testament, the people of Israel know God as Yahweh or YHWH, the Lord. So his name is changed to become really God-focused and really looking forward to the Lord bring salvation. And not only he himself want to be saved, but Moses renamed him, make him believe that you have to lead the people later and believe that the Lord will save the whole people, enter the land. Now the word Joshua, as I mentioned, is a Hebrew word, but the Greek equivalent of the word Joshua, in New Testament, we know that the Bible was written in Greek. So the equivalent of Joshua actually is Jesus. In Greek, Jesus also means God save or the Lord save. Let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 1, verse 21. Next. Matthew 1, 21. Okay, Jesus, when he came to this world, he is God himself, right? But when he came to the world, angel told Joseph to name this baby Jesus. Jesus is Greek, but the equivalent is Joshua in Hebrew. This name is so special because the angel wants to tell parents that this one, this baby, is the Savior. He will bring his people off sin. So from this, we see the connection. Actually, if you read the book of Joshua, Joshua is the prefiguration of Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very important. The whole book, Joshua, is the prefiguration of Lord Jesus. Prefiguration means that using the historical event or story to talk about future, to talk about eventual salvation, how God fulfilled his salvation plan. We know every time when we read the Old Testament, it's always talking about one theme. What is it? The whole Old Testament, what is the theme of the whole Bible? Salvation. And of course, everything you see in the Old Testament is pointing toward Lord Jesus Christ and how he completed salvation. So why do we say Joshua prefigured Lord Jesus? Not only the name already mentioned. If you read Hebrew chapter 4, verse 8, also talks about this. Huh? Hebrew chapter 4, verse 8. 8 to 11. Next. Thank you. Thank you. Chapter 4, verse 8, Hebrew. In the old King James Version, the word Joshua was actually translated Jesus. But actually, these two names are the same name. But he was talking about historically, Joshua was leading the people to have rest. After they claim all the land, there's supposed to be rest. Supposed to be no more fighting, right? But the book of Hebrews said, actually, that Joshua haven't finished the real job because the people didn't have true eternal rest. But there's another person who is going to bring those who believe in him to have true and eternal rest. Who is he? Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see, actually, the same name, Joshua and Jesus, the same name. Actually, you know, in today's, of course, if you in our church, some people are called Joshua, right? Joshua. But of course, nobody will name himself Jesus. Because we know Jesus is the name of God we all worship. But in Spanish, if you look at, if you watch the World Cup or other, some player, actually, their first name is Jesus or last name is Jesus. Jesus is a very, is a name quite common in Spanish. Just like in Joshua. And of course, we try to avoid using the name of Jesus here, of course. But spiritually, in terms of meaning, Joshua and Jesus are the same meaning. Right? So the perfect prefiguration, how Joshua led the people, today Jesus is leading us. Then of course you must ask, wow, what is the theological significance? Let's talk about the first generation of leader. Who was before Joshua? It was Moses, right? Moses represents which period of salvation or the history of the people? What was given to Moses? The law, right? The law was given to Moses. That's why Moses represents the period of the law, the period of the five book of Moses. But Moses wasn't able to bring them inside the land. He stopped right there, right? He stopped right at the boundary of the Canaan. So Moses represents the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ, of course, prefigured by Joshua, led the people inside the land. So Old Testament, the law, only can bring us so far. But it was Lord Jesus Christ, his grace and victory through him, that we can enter God's true rest. So that is a little bit of deeper theological meaning. And of course, also the prefiguration. So that question will be in your test. So counselor, please drop down. Right? That is the most important message. I mean, in terms of theological significance of the book. Prefiguration, Jesus and Joshua, and compared to Moses, what are the difference? So that will be the first question in your final. And if you get this question right, you get the book right, right? You don't just look at the story or the micro teaching. I want you to have a bigger perspective of the whole book. And if you don't got what I say for the last 10 minutes or just wake up during the sleep, sorry, I will not repeat. So you have to pray and maybe ask for your own understanding. Okay, so if you look at Joshua from Exodus, Numbers, and then now in the book of Joshua, you can see this person is a person of spiritual growth. Is a person of spiritual growth. The first time he appeared in the Bible, let's turn to Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. Next. Exodus 24, 13. Okay. So when first time Joshua appear is the helper or the assistant of Moses. Assistant means just like a personal companion and try to do other duties or just be around. You know, today when the president travels, there's a lot of his cabinet minister or, you know, the Secret Service agent or bodyguard. Joshua, I think, is the summary of all of them. He's the bodyguard, probably. He can fight. And he can be a messenger or just be there because Moses was an old man. So Joshua, a younger man, has to be with him. And of course, Moses sent him to fight the battle. Earlier than that, actually, the first time he appeared in the book was in chapter 17. Let's turn to 17. Verse 9 to 10. Okay, actually, that was the first time, even before chapter 24, that the first battle they're facing the Amalekites after they crossed the Red Sea, Moses told Joshua. Probably at the time, Moses already trusted Joshua and know that he's a good fighter and he can mobilize people and tell him, you chose some people and going to fight the first battle. At the time, they have no military experience, but they rely on God. And because Moses went up there to pray. So when he sees Joshua, he appeared to be a helper and also fighting the first battle. And later when Moses went up to the mountain to meet with the Lord, he was also with him. He was also with him all the way. And in Numbers chapter 13, you also see that Joshua was one of the leaders of the 12 tribes. And then he was sent to the land to spy the land. So we can see Joshua also worked for the Secret Service agent. In today's term, he is CIA, right? He is CIA special agent. He's also the military commander, worked for the Defense Department, 5-star general. He's also the man beside the president, advising the president, advising or following instruction, carry out Moses' instruction. And later, God designated him that he is going to be the successor in the future. Let's turn to Numbers 27:18. Next. Moses was told by God, now call Joshua, lay your hand on him, and the Spirit of God is in him. Because in future, he will take over. So we can see that this person, from young to middle age, he's getting himself ready to be used by God. Not only militarily, not only physical strength. I know some brother likes to work out, right? My sons, I have two teenagers, and every day they say, they want more muscle. They want to grow taller. They want to have muscle. I know brothers, you love muscle, right? Every day look at the mirror and pumping up and see whether I get bigger. Bicep, six-pack, right? It's good to have muscle, but the mind also needs to be trained. Joshua, obviously, is not only the man of muscle. I'm sure he has a lot of muscle, six-pack. I have one pack, six in one, right? Joshua not only trained physically, he trained mentally, he trained spiritually, he trained in God's word, and he trained in his faith. And that's why he can grow in his servitude. So write it down, not only brother, sister too. We have to learn from Joshua his growth in servitude. If you don't pursue progress in your servitude, if you just have the physical strength, it's not enough. You have to get yourself ready to be used by God in all aspects. If God wants you to do anything different in the future, you have to get yourself ready in different capacity. It's not that we want to fight for that, no. It's nothing about ambitions. It's not, oh, I aspire to be leaders. No, no, no. We shouldn't think of like this. We don't aspire to be leaders. We don't aspire to be giving command and stand out to feel good. No. We don't promote ourselves. No. We wait patiently for the Lord. If the Lord uses me anything, anyhow, anyway, anywhere, I'll be willing. But I have no personal ambitions. Just like Joshua. He didn't want to be leader. But God chosen him. God have chosen him. He didn't fight for leadership. But God handpicked him and gave his spirit to him. So, brother and sister, are you a person aspiring to have spiritual growth? If you have spiritual growth, God will use you more in the future. And don't complain, why the church don't use me? Why the church schedule other people so much and don't use me? If you have spiritual growth, people will know. God will know, and then people will know. And you'll be given opportunity. But if you're just focusing on the work, but you don't focus on spiritual growth, even though you are doing things, but it's not helping you at all. So Joshua is a person of spiritual growth. And that's why God used him even more and more. And of course, he was also a military warrior and campaign leader. Not only he himself can fight, but he can lead. A good warrior is the one who can bring the sword and kill enemies on the battlefield, one to one. But what is more difficult to find is a general. There are so many good soldiers, but not many can be generals. Because general, you have to be responsible for the lives of the soldiers. Whether a battle can be won, it's not about only the soldier individual strength, but about strategy, about wisdom, about determination. So Joshua was given by God wisdom. So what did he achieve? Basically, he led one of the most difficult military campaigns in human history. Because Israelites were not soldiers. They were born, the generation was born in the wilderness, and they don't have training. They train on the spot. They train on the spot while fighting. And you know, if you know military campaign, first you need training. Second, you need weapon. Thirdly, you need to have your own supply line, and you have your military base and natural defense. But you have nothing. They have nothing. They only have God. Training, they train on the spot. Weapon, I don't know whether any good weapon they can have besides sword and maybe arrows. They don't have any natural self-defense. They have nothing they can go to retreat. They are the one to go and attack. But the enemy are in their stronghold from higher points. The enemy were living in castles or cities, which is so tall and self-defense, and they are attacking the wall, and they don't have heavy machineries to break the wall. Now, is it difficult? I think it's very difficult. And there are so many cities to be attacked, to be claimed. But he achieved the success because God was with him. So, today's homework is, of course, homework will come now from today. Reflection, three reflection question, right? What did he achieve in the book of Joshua, both physically and spiritually? Secondly, what did he overcome? What challenges did he overcome to get the result? And why was he successful? So this is a few reflection questions. You can start to write up one page reflection as you start reading the book, right? And how does that relate to you, your journey of faith? How does that relate to you or could relate to you in your journey of faith? So when you read the book, you position yourself in his shoes and related the whole event to your own personal life, then you can get a better understanding, better meaning. And later, not only Joshua was a military commander, but he was a man of faith and prayer. He was a great spiritual leader too. He was not only a military leader, not only a administrative leader, but he was also a spiritual leader. He was also a spiritual leader. He used spiritual principle to lead the people. He let people follow the direction of God. And he became a good leader in all three aspects: physical, spiritual, and military. Because he followed God's leadership. So through the book, you find out that how he could be a good leader. So brother and sister, you will be, and you aspire to be in the future, to serve God, and probably you are leading your RE classes. Probably you are leading your youth group. Probably you are leading the choir. Or in the future, you could be chosen to serve God in the church council, leading the members. Or maybe some of you in the future could be working full-time minister for God, spiritual leader for Jesus. Or at least you have to be the leader of your own family. How are you going to lead? You have to learn from Joshua. So, of course, he's a man of prayer, most amazing one. That's one biggest miracle about prayer. We'll talk about that. The structure of the book, very easy. You can divide it into three parts. Chapter 1 to 5, preparing to enter the land. This is a big campaign, but there's a lot of preparation. Second, 6 to 12, the actual conquer, the military fighting, city by cities, enemy by enemies, how they overcome them. And of course, some people read the military campaign, they said, wow, they're so cruel, fighting, so many killings. But let's think about this. Why those people have to be destroyed? Because they sin against God so much. And God's judgment is upon them right now. God used the people of Israelites to bring judgment to the wicked tribes, wicked cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. There were a lot of homosexual activities in those days, in those cities. There are a lot of human sacrifices. Those are very wicked culture. So they have to be judged. And God used the people, military campaign, to bring an end so that they will not continue. Chapter 13 to 34 is dividing the land. There are 12 tribes. How is going to divide them? So records are there. The dating of the book, just for reference, you don't have to remember the date, but if you do, you'll get bonus in your test. So, counselor, please take note. Probably written in the early stage of the period of Judges. Because right after Joshua is entering the period of the Judges. And probably the first Judges time period is from 1370 to 1330s. Because Moses, when he led the people out of Egypt, is about 1450 BC. The year that they left Egypt was supposed to be about 1450. And the book of Joshua may be 1370 to 1330. So that will give you 5% bonus mark. If you are barely passing, that will save you. Yeah. So I think my time is up. But let me last question is, what are the difficulties facing them? When you read the book, you have to find out what are the difficulties facing them. And today, what are your difficulties? First, internal fear. They fear about whether they can be successful. Second, difficulties. They have internal problems. Like millions of people, will they respect Joshua? Will they be follow command? The third difficulties are the outside enemy. There are seven tribes. They are stronger, taller, probably more well-trained. And fourthly, they have strong cities. And lastly, they have geographical hindrances. So those are the five main difficulties facing them. They have to break through these five internal and external challenges in order to claim God's promise. So another assignment to you is, there's another assignment, reflection, one page. Write that in order for you to have eternal life, to enjoy God's rest, what are the challenges facing you today? What are the challenges facing you today? As a young man, young woman in the Western culture, what are the challenges facing you, inside and outside? Another page of reflection. That one I can give you an extra day to finish. And that is so important. That's so important that you must know what you are facing before you can even win. You must know what you are up to. You must know how dangerous this is. So I believe my time is up. So let's all pray in silence to conclude this class. Amen.